And welcome to the Killer Frogs, the podcast all about TCU athletics from the fans' point of view. My name is Sean Fouché, and this is Season 4, Episode 19 for January 9th, 2018. See, I did it again. I put 17 on the show notes, and I know it's 18. So I'll get that right. Joining me on tonight's panel are Killer Frog Emeritus Wes Phelan. Hey, Wes, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Sean, how about yourself?
I'm doing pretty good. If I can get over writing 2017 on all my checks and show notes, I'll be all right.
You know the difference between an 8-7 or what?
I'll figure it out. Sometime by March, I'll figure it out. It's all good.
All right.
We also have the boss, Ryan Zeller. Hey, Ryan.
Hello.
Are you having a wonderful new year?
I am. It's a great new year. It's going to be a great 2018. I've started it off really well by getting to go to two basketball games this weekend at TCU, which we'll talk about later, but couldn't imagine a better start to the new year.
Amen. And WC and Hunter are actually in the Big Apple right now, so we wish them well and hope they are having a good new year. But joining us tonight, special guest, you guys remember him from the great teams we had in the late 90s and into Gary Patterson's early tenure as a head coach at TCU. We have Shannon Brazil. Shannon, how you doing tonight?
I'm good. Happy New Year, everybody. I'm blessed. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it. You've been a busy guy over this last year.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Football's been great, but now it's time to go to work, right?
Yeah, right? Yeah. I mean, your buddy gets into the Hall of Fame, and you start your own charity. Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
I will. Again, everybody knows that I helped LT, you know, do his thing, and that was a blessing within itself. But it was just time for me to do my own thing. Brazil's been... And what we're going to be doing is simply that. We're gonna lend a hand to people who need it. We're going to try to be in the community as much as we can. We have programs that are coming this spring that we're still going to do some football stuff and sports stuff, but we'll have a message behind it. We're just not going to play to play. You have to get fed, right? So we're going to give them something that hopefully sticks with them for the rest of their lives. And one of the programs that we're going to be excited about that'll be in December is called Kids Blessing Kids. And kids are going to learn how to purchase things on their own to go take to someone they need. And they're going to do it. And the parents are going to support them and back them. And so I just think it's important to show kids at a young age how to be a blessing, not only to other people, but themselves, to feel good about themselves. And, you know, one of the sayings and Joel Osteen said it best, when you're tempted and bitter, and you're feeling bad, go give somebody something, you know, go give somebody something that's worst off. So not only you lift their spirits, but you'll lift your own. But anyway, we're just going to be simply in the community doing as much as we can with what we got.
Wise words from Joel Osteen. I haven't heard that quote before, but you're also getting the, not just kids, but you're also getting the parents involved in this as well.
Yes. I mean, I have to listen. It's hard to do it by yourself. I mean, it takes a tribe, and I have wonderful board members, Chris Gutierrez, which is a Frog, Channel 5 anchors on my board, and he's going to be anchoring this thing with me. We have some Jason Roberts, who owns Circle R Ranch out in Flowermount, Texas, who's going to let me do some things on his property. We have the head coach, Michael Oldford, just a ton of people, my brother, my wife, I posted something the other day on social media, and the hands and the help was tremendous. And I don't even have anything from the do right now. I'm just like, I'm going to go back to that text when it's time. Be like, hey, remember you said you wanted to help me? But it's been great with the people who've reached out to me saying, hey, whatever you need, I'm in. And so that's a blessing within itself.
Hey, talk a little bit about LT here for a moment. What was it like to see LT get that jacket?
It was good. I think it was for everybody. If you played a role in his life, if you, you know, watched him and been a fan and bought a ticket, whatever you did to contribute, I think it was for everybody. I think that's what the Hall of Fame is all about. It's not about self. I think it's about the team, the people you play with, the coaches, the everybody who got you to that level. And that's why you see a lot of these people get up there and they thank you. They think they have a list of people they want to thank, because it's those people who got them through the times over the years to get to that point. And so to see it from a teammate side of things, from a friend side of things, and it was all, awesome. It was just, and then, you know, going to the party and seeing the joy on everybody else's face, to see the Frog fans, to see, and we had more Frog fans in there, by the way, than Chargers. So that was awesome. So it's just good to see, and not just for him, but the other guys that were there. Jerry, I'm a diehard Cowboy fan, so to see him get in, that was awesome. And to see, you think these guys got a lot of money and they have all this stuff, but man, I'm telling you, it's a humbling day, because to see their reaction, even though they have everything, but they didn't have that jacket at the moment. And to see them achieve that goal and to get that jacket, it's awesome.
It was certainly an unbelievable day, and I know we were all very proud of LT, but we're also very proud of all of his teammates, and it sounds like you guys had a blast, because I know you keep up with all the rest of the teammates that you had here at TCU, and I know LT does as well. And talk to us a little bit about that. Who showed up on that day?
Oh, man. Most of the O-line showed up. All the big uglies, they're always going to show up. We've got Landry Burton, Stein, myself. That was a long night. So, but a lot of defense, a lot of alumni, a lot of the board members showed up. You know, I'm on the veterans boards. So a lot of those guys showed up. But you know, we look, our class looked for a reason, Marty, man. So they shouldn't give us that, because when we get together, we'll leave it at that.
I don't need to go into too many details. That's fine. Yeah, you guys were awesome. You certainly helped elevate TCU, especially, you know, going back during that time period, because, you know, you were at TCU, 96 or 97 that you started at TCU?
7 in 2000.
Now, okay, so you were there right when we had, you know, we're leaving the Southwest Conference. We're now in the WAC, and we have Francione as a coach, and then Francione leaves for that school that will not be named, and then we get Gary Patterson. Talk to us a little bit about what was that transition like going between Francione and Patterson, and what did the players feel when that transition was happening?
Well, you know, I played time was not Gary, because Gary wasn't my coach, and it was Francione who left, and Gary actually coached us our bowl game. But to me, Francione was just, I met with him in the leadership council and the boardroom stuff, but before Gary coached me, Gary was my coach, so I was with him most of the time anyway. You know, also we heard the rumors when he left that, you know, he wouldn't make a great head coach. Well, we knew he would. We campaigned for him. It was we knew we were leaving, and that's still our university, so why would we put somebody or want somebody in that seat? Our staff leadership, we went in the 80s, and we campaigned for Gary to get the job. We wanted him to have the job. We knew that, I mean, we had other coaches step up, and we actually put our business hat on at the time and said, no, coach, and I won't name who the other coaches were. That's not for you. This job is not for you. We think Gary Patterson deserves this, and we think he'll be great at this job, which obviously, look what happened. But I'm not saying we made the decision, but I tell you what, to see, you know, LT, Aaron Schoble, and Curtis Fuller, myself, and all these guys knocking on AD's door and pretty much saying, hey, we're not leaving until we talk to you, about Gary Patterson being the guy, and him sitting us down and listening to us, we thought that was huge. And obviously, he's done what we knew he would do. Some didn't think it. We knew it the whole time, because again, he's a football genius. He just is. And I know you guys will talk about what you saw the other night, but we've always known Gary, and we worked with him. You know, our defense was number one in the country going out, and so we knew the work we put in. But we also knew the classroom time it took to understand, to get inside his mind, or him getting inside our minds, one of the two, but it worked, and it's still working.
Yeah, well, you weren't just campaigning. You were actively campaigning. You were actually going up to the higher-ups and saying, you know, forget about whoever you're trying to interview. Gary Patterson is the guy.
Like putting names on paper, like that campaigning, like names, emails, phone numbers, yes for Gary Patterson, like that's what we did.
You guys did a petition campaign.
So we did that. I mean, but we felt strongly about it, and he knew it. He knew what we were doing, and so did the others. And we handled it like, listen, we told the other, listen, it is what it is. And they knew it. And so it was a lot of camp. It was crazy at the time, because it was our staff anymore, our coaching staff. It was people leaving for jobs, campaigning for jobs. And we just felt like we, as a senior class going out, we need to do what's best for the team that we were leaving behind.
Well, you guys did a heck of a job, and like you said, your faith was definitely vindicated, because, I mean, Gary Patterson has been Well, everybody knows. I mean, he's just been an amazing coach, and everybody in the country who didn't know it certainly knew it after the game against Oklahoma and Georgia. If anybody watched the film, that film room station that they had going on at ESPN. We'll talk a little bit more about that a little bit later on, but there's something you said earlier that was kind of interesting. I want you to kind of see if you can elaborate a little bit. You said that you knew, as him being your position coach, as being the defensive coordinator, you knew that what it took to be a player under Gary Patterson meant that he had what it took to be a head coach and what you had to study. So what do you mean by that, as far as what you had to study under Gary Patterson?
Well, you had to know the game. You just couldn't be in order to work in his system. You can't just be this great athlete. We were all, when you get to that level, you have a talent. When you get to the pros, everybody has talent, right? That's what they say. As you progress in the leagues, you just more talent, right? Where you come from a high school where you're the guy on that team. Now you're in college where everybody's the guy. And so that wasn't enough. You have to understand where he's coming from. As you guys know, he's intense. And practice is just like Saturday. That's what you get. And so if you don't know, it's like you have this blank look and he's yelling at you, trying to get you to understand. It's like, okay, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we do. That's in the film room and also on the practice field. So I learned it clicked for me in the film room. It didn't. Some people, it clicked for them on the field. It clicked for me in the study room with him, because he could point out on the board where you're supposed to be, why do you need to be there? Because what he sees, I don't even see it yet, but he sees it when they break the huddle. And that's from his research, and all he's doing is passing that down to us. So it got to where in a game, when the offense would break the huddle and they would line up, and he was like, oh my God, y'all see this? This is the play. It's coming. It's the screen. You wouldn't know it. And that's when things got fun, because everybody on the defense knew exactly what was coming. It was like we were cheating. Because we would see a screenplay coming. I never forget in Frisco in California, we were playing the Bulldogs or whatever, and they did the jailbreak screen or whatever. And I saw, like, it was like the play just happened. They ran the same play twice. And I just killed this guy coming across the middle, because it was a play towards me. And but all that was because of Gary. That was all because he's done his homework. He knows the game inside out. What you guys saw the other night, what we've been seeing. In the meeting room, we've been seeing that, just on a high, more high intense level, right?
It wasn't the video studies, it wasn't just about knowing your position on the field too, right? Didn't Gary? I mean, we've heard this from a couple other players that Gary wants everybody to know where everybody else needs to be and what everybody else's job is.
How can you be the best defense, the number one defense, the fastest defense, whatever you want, if you don't know not only your job, but everybody else's? You have to. It's just part of it. I knew what the people in front of me were doing. I knew the calls in the back. I knew exactly where the corners were supposed to be on the plays. You knew it, and we tested on it every Friday night, and you had to grade out pretty much at 100% or you didn't start. So that alone made you learn pretty fast.
So he actually gave you guys tests beforehand.
Like on paper, in your book, tests. Make put a paper and tell me, and he would put the formation up of the offense, place everybody where they're supposed to be. That kind of test.
You know, to kind of back that one up, I remember hearing that some of the guys from I guess it was ESPN or whoever broadcast our game in the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin, they spent a few days with Gary to see our pregame prep. And they made a comment like, we have never, in the years we've done these broadcasts, we have never seen a team go through pregame prep and the testing like Gary Patterson's TCU defense and the whole team did. And so it really underscores what you were saying there, that you better know your stuff when you're out there, or you're going to have, I'm sure it's unpleasant to have Gary Patterson in your grill. And
I'm sure Shannon doesn't know anything about that.
Listen. If you didn't have your butt chewed out by Coach Gary Patterson, that means you didn't play. You wanted to get that chewing. You want that chewing. That means you're playing, you're active, you're part of the team. So trust me, you want that chewing.
What was it worse when he didn't talk to you? Is that how it was?
Oh yeah, one of those kind of things, right? Because it's like, you don't get enough. If you don't get his attention, I mean, listen, you're not playing for Coach Patterson. I mean, it's the truth, right? And sometimes the truth is what it is, but you want to have it. You want him in your grill. You want him. That means he's correcting you or telling you what you did right or wrong. Because I think I think we, even when he yells at you, and when you do something good, he yells at you. When you do something bad, it's the same, right? Gary is the same. So you want Gary Patterson in your life.
I got a question. Shannon, I don't know if you had the opportunity to hear Kenny Hill when they interviewed him post-game about, you know, what changed in the second half? And he said, well, coach came in yelling during halftime.
Yep.
And of course, all of us in the stands and talking about it after the game are asked, because he's always so hoarse. You know, we can barely understand. We're like, can y'all understand him during halftime? have you developed an ear for his hoarseness and been able, can you decipher what's exactly coming out of his mouth? Or do you just read lips and you know what's going on?
Well, first of all, let me say this. And, you know, when you play for him, I always feel like fans are fans. But if you played in the system, you see the game, you see what's going on a little bit better than most. Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. I don't think he yelled at the team. I think he yelled at Kenny. We were playing. Kenny came out. I think he was trying to do too much too fast. Let's just be honest. When Kenny got to playing Horned Frog football, we all saw the change in the game, bottom line. So I think he was just trying to do too much too fast, too early. You know better throwing across your body when you're looking at the first down. It's right there. Nobody's around the first down markers twice. You did that when you could have simply picked up the first down. That's all on him. Nobody else should deserve a butt chewing besides Kenny at that point in time. Yeah. But whatever he said, it worked, especially in a game like that. You don't go in doing a lot of yelling. I think he yelled, but it was more of a yell that we're not out of the game. We're right in the game. We just got to calm down and play Horned Frog football, and things will take care of themselves. So I think that's the way he handled the situation. But you, to your point about him yelling, you learn to tune in what's for you, and what's not for you, you just learn to just let it go. You don't hear it. It's, you know, because out there, it's just once you're in tune, because you have to still play the game. Mm-hmm. So at some point, when it's your turn to listen, you listen. Otherwise, you focus on what you need to focus on, and you just kind of drown out the rest. That's how I did it anyway.
Good to know. If some of the players are listening, they can take some tips from you.
Well, they'll get it one, but they'll get it pretty soon if they don't.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a learning curve.
The locker room at the halftime could be a little rough if y'all were not having a great first half.
Yeah, you know, so it's just the feel. When you know it's coming, you know it's coming. And you know you deserve it, you know you deserve it. It's just some games, it's just not going your way, but you know you're in the game. Like, we knew we were in the game the other night, even though we knew that, okay, they jumped up on us early. And even based off how we've played in the past, we knew we were in the game. We just needed to cut out the crap, right? And so on that game, you don't go in doing a bunch of yelling and all that screaming. Certain games you do. Certain games you need to go out there and maybe like that first Oklahoma game, not even the second, because it's the stage you're on. Sometimes when you're on a big stage, that kind of yelling is not going to do it, because you're in a big game on a big stage, and sometimes you need to push different buttons. And a real butt chewing is not what you need at the time like that. But there's some games where it's early in the season, and then you go off because it's like, we're early in the season. If we lose this game, we're out of it. And forget the rankings, forget everybody, especially the team we should be blowing out. Now that's a time for butt chewing to get everybody kind of going and cranked up, because the goals that you set at the beginning of the camp and the summertime was brutal, tour days, all that stuff. And so you need to get going. But when you're late in the season and the season is what it is, and you know you got at that time, you kind of give more of a message chewing versus a pure butt chewing.
Shannon, what's the hardest part? I've heard Gary say he can install his defense in 2 days. But it takes you a little bit longer to learn that defense, doesn't it? I mean, what's the hardest thing about learning Gary Patterson's defense?
Well, when you know what you're supposed to do, it doesn't matter what they do. When you know exactly – when you know your defense, it doesn't really matter what they do, because you know how to react to it. You know what you have – you know what bullets you have in your gun to stop theirs. So it's basically saying, okay – here's the package we're running. We put in A, B, and C in the summertime versus this team. We're running package A because they do X, Y, and Z. And once you see it on film Sunday night or whatever it is, you understand why we got to do what we have to do. You understand why we're running package A, right? And so it changes week to week. Some teams are similar. You may incorporate plan A and B, but as long as you know what you're doing is supposed to do, whatever they do, it doesn't matter. They give you, for like Coach say, the test. We watch film Sunday through all the way up until basically the day before the game. You know, even though it's a week-to-week thing and it happens quick, you know exactly what you by game time, you're sharp. And if you're not sharp, you don't play for one. But you're sharp, and it just transitions week to week, and you only get better sharpening up, staying in shape, you know, kind of getting in the sync of things with your team and going from there, right? And so some his defense is simple if you get it. If you don't get it, it could be rough. I mean, that's just the bottom line. Those wristbands that we wear, they have a ton of stuff on them. I didn't get it out of the gate, and one day it clicked. It just clicked, and I knew everything on the wristband. I couldn't tell you what day it was. It just happened. But it was so much coaching Coach Parks. I mean, every single day. I mean, that's all you hear. That's what you, you know, you're with them more than you're with your family. You're with them more than with your classmates up at the school. You're with your team and your coaches. So it's got to click at some point. Otherwise, you're going to run out of time.
Great. Interesting stuff.
Yeah, and you guys did a great job. I mean, it was a lot of fun watching you guys play, especially, you know, when Ryan and I were at TCU. And I tell you what, those couple of years, because you came in about my I think it'd be my junior year. So my junior and senior year while I was at TCU, it was fun watching you guys play. And then after, you know, being a young alumni, it was exciting to see it and to see the kind of the evolution of the defense. And as Gary Patterson kind of took over the reins as head coach after Franchione left, just to kind of see that progress was just it was mind-boggling for a lot of us. And it was kind of mystifying a little bit, because we had never heard or seen a coach kind of like Patterson or how he actually ran his defense. So, you know, talking to a lot of guys, they all kind of have the same thing to say. But it's interesting to hear you kind of distill it down a little bit like that, because it's fun. It sounds like you guys, you get to a point in his defense where, like you said, it just clicks and then it becomes fun. And you can see that in the players as the season progresses.
You can see it. And if you guys watch closely early on, defense, they're faster from mistakes early on. If you watch late in the season, where you got 11 guys flying to the you can go back to our film the same way. They're gelling and they got it now. Everybody on that defense guy, there's no questions. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They got the package. It's down. Now they just have to play football. And that's why you guys start seeing really good defensive play the later the season got.
Well, you know, you were one of the best, and and there's been a couple things that have happened recently that kind of cements that as well. Your jersey just got retired, didn't it?
High school, yes, sir. It was an honor. I'm blessed, and it was. He called me up, the new head coach Michael Odell, and he knows my history there. I think I have a lot of records there, and one of them was the most tackles in the district, and so. He decided to do that for me, and I've been giving back and pouring into those kids and going back every week. And they have what they call the Shannon Brazil Award. I never knew all this, but he told me to come back and speak to these kids every week. Well, I was giving out my jersey. Whoever won the award got to wear my number for the following Friday, and it became an honor for the kid. And I just thought that was just so crazy. Made me feel like I was a lot older than I was. I think you're supposed to be older when that kind of thing starts happening. But I thought it was great that he did that, and I just try to do as much as I'm thankful. I'm honored. But whatever I told him, whatever I can do for you, brother, you know, you got me, as long as you're here. So it's an honor. I don't know what else to say besides I'm blessed, and it's just an honor.
Well, it's not just your district that's honored you. You were also nominated for the UIL 100, the century team. So, I mean, you know, Shannon, you are a phenomenal guy and a phenomenal player, and I'm so happy that, you know, as an ex-Horned Frog, but just also knowing you as an individual, I'm so happy that you've been nominated for so many wonderful things in your life.
Thank you. I appreciate your kind words. It's I never talk about that stuff. I simply try to pour into the, you know, anybody I can, be it at TCU or be it back home, because it's, again, I've had my time, and I'm really about the youth. Me and my brothers and the people that I'm around, we pour into these kids, and you just want them. You want to do better than what you did, you know. That's the bottom line. So right. I'm honored.
Amen. That's all we ever want, you know, for our kids and even the youth that we mentor. I mean, you always want them to have a better life and better opportunities than you had. And talk a little bit about the annual banquet that you do each year.
Got it. So we have the first down banquet coming up January 18th. And we've been doing it for 6 years, and we started out with a bunch of frogs, and me and Russell Gary with Tim Buchanan, who's a leader of the Super Bowl there. Now he was the head coach for years, Coach Watson, and the coaches from, you know, ODY and Mansfield, Bruce, Summit, Springtown, Waco, Louisville. Just we have a head coaches who come together and vote on an offensive player of the year and a defensive player of the year and a scholar. We'll attach $1,000 scholarships to it. This year was our first year doing a scholar award, and that'll be a $3,000 deal attached to his honor. And so we just come out, we want to just thank these kids and honor these kids for what they're doing, not just in on their team, but in the community. And so these coaches know them better than most. And so we sit down, watch film on them at TCU. And I thank Gary, those guys, for allowing us to use their facilities. But we've been doing that for 6 years, and it's been a blessing. It's grown bigger every year.
Where's it going to be this year, Shannon?
This year it's at the Mansfield ISD Center, Performance Arts Center. And this year, and I want to talk about the past, guys. It's very exciting because a lot of frogs about – we have about – Kenny Hill has won the first award. Sean won it last year as a quarterback. And we've had Nico Smalls. He's been a recipient. And it's been fun watching those guys come through. But we've also had guys now – we're getting to the point where we have guys like let me see here – four or five guys who are in the NFL now that's come through and won the award. And that's very exciting too. Andrew Billings, Miles Garrett, Kenny Hill. Well, Kenny, obviously I'm missing his name a while ago, but Jamal Adams and Salmon Thomas at Stanford. Those guys are all going pro now. And so it's exciting to see that we're picking the right guys that are going to college, having great college careers, and then going on to the next level.
Wow, that is exciting.
And that's on January – that's coming up, right? January 18th, is that what you said?
January 18th. We'd love to have you can reach me at if you want to be involved. I know you all will be perching the table and been involved, and I thank you guys for your involvement over the last few past. I think you've been a part of every year, to be honest with you. And so I thank you guys for that. But there's still room and there's still tables. You can reach me on my email, SD as in David, Brazil, BRAZZELL at gmail.com if you're interested. Email me and we'll get you taken care of.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll put that in the show notes too, so that way people can go ahead and
sure, awesome.
So, yeah, only serious inquiries. I mean, if you want to ask Shannon a little bit about his TCU days, you know, there are other avenues to email him about it, right?
Well, listen, you know, I'll tell you, I play with a great group of guys. I played with, if you think about when we get together, and most of that Letterman's Lounge up there is mostly our class, 2000 class that's up there. If you ever come up there, we're a tight group. We know what it took to get to where our senior year to where we finished, but we also understand kind of the legacy we left behind. So we don't take it for granted. We feel like, we've seen the birth of a baby and for and all today. It's on a whole nother level. We knew we could get there, but not to this level. This level was, we blew the top off of it. And it's awesome, awesome to see. It really is.
Yeah, you're talking about like, it looked like you birthed a baby. You, not only did you play the role of midwife, but you're also in the Le Mans classes as well. So, I mean, you guys, with your petitioning and stuff. So, we owe a lot to you guys as TCU fans, because there's a lot, like you said, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that a lot of fans don't know, and you guys did a lot of it. So,
talking about behind the scenes, what you may not know is Shannon is surrounded by women in his house. Shannon, what do you got? Three daughters, is that right?
I have four daughters, yes.
Four daughters, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Four, yes. 16 all the way down to three.
Listen, if you need a place to hide, I'm here for you, okay? So,
I'm telling you, man, my wife, I tell you, she's been a blessing, and I appreciate her. She's also, obviously it was great because her and LT went in the Hall of Fame together, at the time, one of my good friends and my wife. I think it was 2014 or whatever, but it's been a blessing to watch her, for one, run track and do the things she did back at TCU, and now hanging there with me and have four kids by me. So it's been a blessing. It's TCU all in his house, and they know it. We don't push it on them. It's just part of who they are.
Well, given tuition rates, it's probably a good thing you don't push it on them.
Exactly.
Speaking of somebody who's had four kids and three girls in the house, we bleed purple, and sometimes my wife and I are wondering, maybe we shouldn't have pushed it so hard in the beginning, but what's done is done.
Well, this is what I will say. I told my oldest daughter, I don't care where you go to school. I really don't.
Not
you
Baylor.
Go to Baylor, and you go to Oklahoma, and that's it. I'm never wearing that colors. I'm never wearing them. I've never put it on me. I never will. And I'll sit if you when you play us, I'll sit with the Frogs. That's just what it is. So they know. Otherwise, you do. I can wear any other school. I'm not wearing Baylor or Oklahoma or anything.
Good man. Good man. Hey, I got a question for you. As somebody who's had three girls in the house ranging from 15 down to nine, and somebody who has four yourself, what tips do you have on taking a hot shower?
What tips? I haven't taken a hot shower.
Yeah, man, because I can't ever get a hot shower in the house.
You don't get a hot shower anymore?
I got to tell you.
I try to get in. My wife knows when we're out together. And we come in, I hit it first. Boom. I beeline to the shower. Yeah. I hit it first. I get it out of the way. There's been times where when we knew we had to replace our hot water heater. Matter of fact, last year. And she didn't understand how I was taking cold showers. She didn't understand it. I said, babe, do you think when we got out of a football game with a room full of men with this open shower, do you think we cared about hot water or cold water? You just jumped in the shower, you got your shower, you got out of there. So I took a plenty of cold shower for my first time. So I thought it doesn't bother me one bit. I just rather have it warm, but hey, I got to be clean, so whatever.
Yeah, I thought for a while I was going to have to apply for like a membership to the Polar Bear Club or something because, it was pretty bad early on. So.
If you do need to hide out and come down here, I've got two hot water heaters. You can take a shower for 4 hours if you want to.
Hey, Wes, get it right.
Wes, I can't touch you. You won't have me there because I just love deer. I don't love to pet them. I love to eat them. And you have plenty where you're at.
Yeah, but all you have to do is set up on his back porch with a 30-06 and you're good to go, man.
I'm telling you, man.
He's got the other night. we have turkey around
I'm
here.
Jealous.
Too, but I wish somebody awesome. Came here to take care of these coyotes. Those things are noisy.
Oh yeah. I'd love
it. 30-06 will take care of coyotes too. Sure, it's not as good.
Yes,
but,
sir. Yeah,
there you go. All right. Well, Shannon, we really appreciate you coming on. And if you don't mind, you mind sticking with us for a few more minutes? Because we want to talk a little bit about this this film room experience that everybody had with Gary Patterson on ESPN. And just to kind of set the stage a little bit, guys, I had no idea he was on that until the second quarter. Did you guys know he was going to be on the film room?
No.
So if you didn't know what it was, and I'm not sure if ESPN has done a replay of this or if they have it up on their website. If they do, I'll put it in the show notes. But as the game between Oklahoma and Georgia was going on in the Rose Bowl, it was crazy because you had the you had a separate channel like they normally do. Sometimes they have like a separate channel where they have like all the different TV angles. But in this case, they had all the coaches sitting around a table and they're all watching the game and they're all talking about the game. And Patterson is sitting there basically giving a masterclass in how to be a head coach and how to be a, you know, defensive minded head coach. What did you guys think about this?
I wasn't able to see it. I didn't know what was going on. I was like you. And then, but I've heard lots of reviews on it, and you're right, a master class. Now, who are the coach? I know there's Brett Bielema. Is that correct?
And yep. Dana Holgorsen was in there as well. Major Applewhite. And I forgot who the other one was.
Okay.
But yeah. But I mean, well, it was a Gary Patterson show with support characters. it really was.
And one of them's not working now. So, you know, take that for what it's worth. But
right.
Yeah. He probably could listen to Gary a little bit and learn some things. But, you know, I've heard nothing but great things. And ESPN people were talking about how he was the star of the show. And they were just impressed at how smart he was and how knowledgeable and how intuitive he was about what was coming and getting ready to happen. And as Shannon talked to before, this probably goes back to his education and training about it. How to watch a game and what to look for and how to prepare for it. And, you know, Gary, I think we all heard the stories of him spending hours and hours and hours and hours looking at film and other teams and figuring out everything. And then, and that's how he gets himself ready and passes that down to his players and how they get ready. So I think it was great. And I have heard some rumors that people from the, some of the people from Big 12, and I don't know who, but I'm just, again, it's kind of an unnamed source, but they were a little upset at Gary for, you know, saying, okay, Oklahoma's getting ready to run this. Look at how they're lining up. And then somebody was texting or emailing or contacting Georgia coaches telling them, hey, Gary Patterson just said this, and they'd stuff the play. Now, personally, that sounded like a bunch of excuses. Oklahoma, you know, just they got beaten. And I don't think there's enough of that collaboration going on to pin anything like that on Gary Patterson. But
well, anyway. And like we were talking a little bit before we went live, and what I said was, this is kind of like tinfoil hat conspiracy theory territory. Yeah. You know, I mean, if Georgia, and I'll say, if Georgia was able to have somebody watch that broadcast live and be able to radio up to whoever was the offensive coordinator or defensive coordinator and then say, you know, get that play called down on the field, if they were able to figure all that mechanics out, kudos to them. But I honestly don't think that's even possible. So
yeah, here's the problem. Listen, they're making excuses, but this is what I want you guys to think about. Do you think that Oklahoma went into that game with the same game plan they had for us?
No,
I mean, think about it. Of course not. So therefore, for Gary to sit down, break down, like literally when they're breaking the huddle, if you watched it, he was telling the guys what was about to happen and, you know, why and whatever. He was breaking down everything. You know what that is? That's months of watching Oklahoma. That's watching Oklahoma from day one all the way to current. That's why he knew what they were going to do, because you run different packages every single game for different teams. You run different schemes. You don't run the same scheme. You have to – it's chess, not checkers. So, therefore, for him to sit up there and break that down the way he did and was spot on while he was doing it, that just lets you know how much he's a student of the game. He's a mastermind when it comes to X's and O's, bottom line.
Yeah. Did you get to watch that at all, Shannon?
I watched it with my laptop in my lap, watching him, then my TV with the game on. And I muted the game, and I was listening to him.
Yeah, it was probably better audio when you muted
the game. It was awesome. Like I said, it was bringing everything back to what he room. I mean, study film, studying all that stuff. The way he did that's – again, I tell people, it was just nicer because he was in there with his peers, right, versus us.
Right.
Same way we watch video. If you saw his arms and saw him point, I think he really had to contain himself because he really wanted to dive really more into it, because usually he gets up on the board and pauses and everything else, right? Pointing, you know, it's all over the place. And so I think he had to really contain himself, but you can see the excitement in Gary. You all saw a different Gary that you have never seen before in the dungeon, as we call it, because that's usually with the coaches and the players, but the world got to see him at his best, and it was awesome to see.
Yeah, I think he definitely has a career ahead of him as an analyst or color guy if he wants one after he's done with a coaching career.
You think his voice will hold up through a broadcast?
I think so.
A couple years to get his voice back.
As long as he doesn't have to yell anybody on the crew at halftime, I think he'll be okay. You know, yelling at the guys setting up the lights. It's like, you know, what are you doing? Get that light down. Yeah, as long as he doesn't have to do any of that, I think he's fine for you know, an hour-long broadcast. He's
probably
fine.
Tell the guy how to set him up properly.
Yeah. I'd listen to him. I mean, he talked with authority in that. It was really just something amazing to see, because, it, you know, Shannon nailed it. I mean, they break in the huddle and he's already breaking down exactly what they're about to do. It's like he either, you know, this is a guy who really knows what he's talking about, or he can read minds. It's just one of the two, maybe both. I don't know. But I mean, it was something to see. I mean, even the ticket was talking about it the next day. I mean, everyone was enamored with him. I think a lot of people were saying he was the star of the show. So it was good to see. And,
well, if you were parents and if you were students, if you're recruits, I think as well, Gary's smart now. Don't get it. Don't think it wasn't about business as well, because now the world gets to see Gary in another light and see those other coaches, but also recruits and people like that get to see how sharp this guy is, and he knows the football game. So Gary, that was almost brilliant what he did the other day. If you really think deep as far as recruiting and everything, it was awesome. And to me, he outshined every single coach at that table.
Well, that was a 2-hour, 3-hour recruiting pitch he just did. I mean, you don't you don't get those kind of opportunities on national television very often. You better take them. And when you do take them, you better look like you know what you're talking about. And he certainly did. So, yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah, he made it look easy.
I didn't see it. I'm just reading what everybody else told me about it and what
now,
I
now, Sean, where did he go? Did he, like, drop the mic and walk away? Because I didn't see him after a while. And when I didn't see him, then I changed the channel. What happened? Maybe I missed him say he had to go or something.
Yeah, right. I mean, that would have been a perfect out for him. He'd just been like, after he called like the 12th straight play, just kind of like drop the mic, walk out of the room.
Right.
I'm done. I think at one point in time, I delivered pizzas, and I think I lost track of them after that. And somebody was talking like, just keep the pizzas on the other side of the table from from the ex Arkansas coach, and just, you know, just. Yeah, don't do that. So, yeah. Awesome. And it was a great broadcast. If I can find the rebroadcast of that, if ESPN has it, I'll put it in the show notes for everybody else to watch it. Because if anything, just watch the first half of it, because it was a masterclass of just trying to understand that. And it's great to see that, because like you said, Shannon, we don't get the chance to see that as fans. I mean, we hear a little bit of that, but we never have gotten to actually, you know, experience that until that night.
Right. It was awesome. Well, again, being an ex-locker room guy, it was awesome for me to see as well. My wife's like, why are you watching a game like that? I said, babe, you don't get it. This is taking me back to my locker room days. This is fun.
Some flashbacks, right?
Minus the butt chewings.
That's the best part.
Yeah, no doubt, right?
Yeah. Well, it was fun to see, and it certainly was kind of like the exclamation point at the end of what was a surprising and a very good season for TCU, especially given where we were a year ago. And talk a little bit more about, you know, kind of a postseason wrap up here. Let's talk a little bit about what the expectations are from each of you for this team moving forward. We lose Kenny Hill. We're going to have Anderson back. We do lose Hicks. Shea will look like he was coming on strong the last couple of weeks of the season. The defense, of course, we hear Ben Benigou is going to be coming back, which is a huge help for that defensive line. We are losing some people like Tejada, but, you know, some of those cornerbacks like Gaines have kind of stepped up. What do you guys feel like this team sits right now, and what are your expectations for 2018?
Well,
for my side of things, I think, again, you have to first, like you mentioned, see who you have coming back. Because when you do get to this level, you know, guys have an opportunity to better their situation at home. And so you're asking guys who, you know, from a hard situation and to not go take millions of dollars. And so sometimes that's what they see. They're doing what's best for them. So you have to see what you have coming back. As you mentioned, we know for the most part who's have to replace. And so with all the recruits that we're getting, and I tell people, Gary Patterson can grade a C. I don't even look at the grades anymore, because you can come in playing one position and may not be playing that when you get to TCU. He's a genius again when it comes to putting people at the right position. I'll never forget Michael Keithley was a tight end. He moved him to lineman, and then he went to the pro. Most guys, where he moves them, they go pro. I tell people all the time, if he moves you, get ready to make a lot of money. You know what I mean? Because he knows where he needs you. He knows where you fit into his system. And so, again, listen, we've won the big championship. And for me, it's like at this point, it's playoffs. That's our next big step. We've got to find the right pieces to the puzzle to get into the playoffs. We control our own destiny. They have to take care of their business. But, you know, it's not a lost season, but if we're going to talk about where TCU needs to go to be on the next level and to get more respect that some fail to give us, even though we've been winning year in, year out, we have to go and win a big game in the play. We have to get there, and then when we get there, we have to perform. I think – I'm not even talking national championship right now. The next step for TCU, get into the playoffs, perform well, and let's see what happens.
Do you feel this team in 2018 has what it takes?
I do. I've been feeling that way for a while now. If you look at the teams we play, I don't care, SEC, whatever conference we play, if you look at our track record, we perform. You know, if we don't win, we perform with the big boys, and they said we can't do it. Then it was like, oh, you can't do it week in, week out. Well, we've proven we can do that. So I believe with the defense getting back to playing solid football, you know, I'm a defensive guy, so I've always believed defense win championships. And so we're getting back on that level of things. I believe we have what it takes now to go and compete, if not win at all. Because I'm telling you right now, I think if we correct some things and played any of these teams in the playoffs, I know Oklahoma should have won that game. I can't stand them, but I do recognize football. They should have won the game. Okay. It was theirs to lose, and they lost it on, they lost it. They stopped running the football. They had the game won. And I think they would challenge, challenge Alabama. I think we would do the same. I just think we have everything it takes to go perform on level, if not win the game. So I've been there. My heart, I've been there. And I'm talking real X's and O's, not as a fan, but what I've been seeing year in and year out and having faith in my head coach.
Ryan, how about you? What do you think about 2018?
Well, all I have to say is if we can beat Ohio State, that'll be my year. We could lose every other game. Not that I want to, but if we can just beat that one, because I live within Ohio State.
I was going to say, you're just saying that because of Mike.
It's true.
And so it's agreeing with what you're saying.
Year that we've been building up to this game and continuing till next year, that's all I hear. So please, 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 all football gods, please let us beat Ohio State. And then I think if we beat Ohio State, it's ours to win out the rest of the season too. But you know, it's interesting. This is supposed to be our, you know, and I'm doing the quote sign, easier schedule, because we get OU and OSU at home, and we get 5 home games out of conference instead of the 4 that we had this year. But it's funny because it seems like every year that we play the harder, what we deem the harder teams away, like the Oklahoma teams and Tech, those seem to have been our best years. So I'll be interested to see, because this year, this next year, 2018, is the same schedule basically as, you know, 2015, which wasn't a very good year. So I'm anxious to redeem ourselves from that home schedule and get some more wins. So I think we'll be good. I'm super excited to see Robinson, and hopefully the fans will just not crucify him the first time he throws an interception like they did Kenny. We'll go a little easier on the poor guy. But I think it's going to be an exciting year. We have a lot of new players coming up and some veterans. And it's just nice to be deep finally. You know, we'd lose players, they'd graduate, and we weren't that deep. You know, now it's next man up. And it's been a long time. In my era, we never really could say that. But I think we finally arrived with getting some – top-notch recruits and building the classes from year to year. It's very exciting.
Yeah, having that depth is certainly helpful. And just kind of dovetail a little bit about what Shannon was saying. You know, our track record has always been that no matter what conference we go to, we tend to perform. And it doesn't take us 5 years to get to a point where we're actually performing. We get there pretty quickly. And now with this depth that we're starting to see, it's going to be pretty exciting, because I imagine TCU is probably going to give Oklahoma a run for its money as far as who's going to be top dog in this conference over the next couple of years. But let's continue on. Wes, what do you think about 2018?
Well, you know, I think 2018 is going to be a good year. We've got a lot of places. We've got a lot of holes we have to fill in. We've lost a lot of offensive linemen. I mean, Austin Sloatman and Matt Pryor and Note Boom, those are some big guys, and they played fairly well this year. But we've got some depth there that will fill in as well. We're going to miss Travon Howard on defense. And, I mean, he's a tackling machine. And, you know, I think Ty Summers will feel pretty good, do pretty well on the other side. He always has. I'm kind of concerned about who's going to step up, but I'm sure somebody will. We've got some talent there. Losing Ray Anthony to Hata, man, that's a big loss, because he – you know, people didn't throw to his side very often. He's on those guys like glue. But, you know, once again, I'm sure somebody's going to step up and do the job. On the offensive side, you know, what's going to be interesting to see Sean Robinson. You know, they let him throw deep quite a few times against Texas Tech. Isn't that the game he started this year? He threw deep, and, you know, they didn't let Kenny throw deep all that often. And I'm really anxious to see that. And you know what, gosh, with Justin Fields coming in, and we got that kid named Michael Collins, who's a transfer from Penn. Apparently he's got a pretty stout arm and can move around a little bit. So we've got, you know, pretty good depth at quarterback, wide receiver. You know, everybody talks about Omar Manning, and we're going to see him next year. He's a little bit, We probably would have seen him this year. I think he was injured, and they just kept the red shirt on him. But apparently he's another Josh Doxum type in that he wants the ball, and he'll go up and get it, and which is exactly what Doxum did for a couple of years there. And so I'm kind of excited about, Gavonte Turpin back. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun year, and we've got a good schedule this year at home. I'm not like Ryan, though. If we're going to – I'd rather win all our games than we have to lose one. Go ahead and let Ohio State have it, because I'd rather be 11-1 rather than 1-11.
Yeah, Ryan wants an easier home schedule for herself. That's what she wants. Yes.
I actually heard a former athletic director at TCU after we beat Texas back in when Pat Sullivan was there, proudly proclaim, "I'd rather lose all my games and win the Texas every year." and I thought, are you serious? So you'd rather go 1-11 rather than 11-1?
1-10 back then.
I was in that locker room week to week. It wasn't a good one. I've seen coaches go at it. I've seen them players fight. I've seen people. That season was brutal. And again, that's part of the base to the success TCU had. We had to go through those things that a lot of people didn't see to get to where we are now. But it wasn't fun. But I tell you what, when we did win the one game, everything else went out the window. That game was like we won every game the whole year, because. And that's all that mattered. I mean, when do you tear down a goalpost against SMU and you won one game and everybody storms the field, the 10 people we had in the stadium, and tear down a goalpost? I mean, come on.
There were more than 10. I mean, there were at least 23 of us in there. I mean, you know.
There you go.
And half of us got pepper spray to getting onto the field.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what? I've got a funny that was my senior year. Sean, was that your junior, or what year was that?
That was my, I want to say, sophomore, junior. I can't remember which one it was. Yeah.
So that was my senior year and my last year to cheer for TCU, and of course the last game of the season beat SMU. And that, and if I remember correctly, that kept them
Kept them out of a bowl game.
Bowl game, since the death penalty, and we kept them from going. And I mean, we might kind of be the root cause of them just never. I mean, that could have been the turning point.
That could have been their Sun Bowl. That could have been their Sun Bowl.
Yeah. And, no wonder they hate us so badly. So, but yeah, that was fun. I will say that I forget now who I was talking to. It was at a football game, probably one of the tailgates. And someone said, "I just want to make it known that it wasn't the Fort Worth Police Department who pepper sprayed. It was the
Sheriff's Department."
Yes. They were very
McCarty. So Chad McCarty's dad, I think we're at a luncheon. Matter of fact, the last lunch Dale Connie was at, he was telling that story, and he's like, they were so mad and upset. Because it was not the Fort Worth PD. It was the sheriffs or some other people that did the pepper spray. He's like, "We're all horn frogs. Why would we pepper spray everybody?" You know, which makes sense.
Yeah.
That hadn't happened since, by the way.
Yeah, that's true.
No, it hasn't.
We all more or less had permission to jump on the field. You know, I mean, it was a great day. So it's funny to hear that story. And then the next year, of course, we went on to win the Sun Bowl, which was the start of everything. So
yeah,
that was amazing, because that was my senior year. So that was a lot of fun, and I remember I've mentioned a couple times, that was the first time where I kind of felt like TCU kind of became a name outside of Fort Worth.
Yeah,
because you know, we've talked about this before, Ryan. You know, back when we were in the 90s, Shannon, you remember this. You see somebody walking around town in a TCU shirt, they're either a student or an alumni back in the 90s.
Right.
They're not just some casual fan who's wearing a TCU shirt. But we go to the Sun Bowl, and you'll remember this, Shannon. It was like the entire city of El Paso showed up in purple to cheer on the Frogs.
Yes.
Man, it was an awesome feeling.
Awesome.
Yeah, and it was great. Awesome.
And we've been seeing purple ever since. That was the game that changed it all for – TCU, as you guys know, but the fans, everybody else, the world knows us today. That game, playing against 5 first round draft picks, Carson Palmer, and they're supposed to, I mean, they disrespected us all week long.
Oh, and the fans, and the band, and everybody and who was wearing crimson.
Okay, yeah. We're men like you guys are men. We put our pants on the same way. Game on. Mm-hmm. And I just never forget, you know, we went to play, and, you know, as they say, you let stuff fly, and they woke us up, and it was 12-0 at halftime. That's all I can do. And I just believe the Frogs that you guys see part of it right there in Sun Bowl.
Mm-hmm. How many times y'all sacked Carson Palmer that game?
Man, if I'm not mistaken, I think they pulled all the guys out. They started. They were looking after their money. They went from trying to win a game to now watching their first round draft pick money because they start taking themselves out of the game. We start putting it on them, and so I don't even know if he finished the game or not. But the linebacker, I think Chris Claiborne or whatever, he was the Buckets Award candidate. He won it. He took himself out of the game because he got tired of getting cut every single play, and he was done.
Well, he got tired of Basil Mitchell's cleats getting run off.
That's true.
It got fun really quick.
Yep. One of my best memories of my senior year for sure. So that was a lot of fun. And
style, baby.
Oh yeah. 2018 is shaping up to kind of be the same kind of year, I think. I think these guys, we hear about it all year long. They're having fun in the locker room. They're working as a family. You could kind of see it even this season. I mean, they're gelling it, and it's great. And yeah, Wes, I agree. The offensive line is probably my biggest question mark going into next season. But maybe having Patrick Morris out for most of the season was a blessing because we got to rotate a couple of guys in who did get some playing time. So, you know, maybe we'll have two or three guys step up in that position and help us out. But with Anderson and Shaywo back and with Robinson as a threat to both run and throw, I think, you know, the offensive line is going to grow up pretty quick. But I'm excited. I really think that what Kenny Hill and this senior class has been able to do here this season has kind of laid groundwork. It kind of reminds me a little bit, you know, Shannon, going back to what you guys were able to do. And I think they're ready to kind of take that next step up. You guys were the first step from being thrown into the wilderness into, okay, we're going to take this seriously and we're going to claw our way back into legitimacy. Now we're finally back to where we want to be, or what we said we all wanted to be back. And I think this team has finally taken on what we did in 2014 and have taken that next step up. And I think we'll start seeing some really good things starting this season. So it's going to be fun to watch for sure.
I agree, sir.
All right. So with that, I think we're done talking with football unless anybody else wants to add anything for the season.
Nope. No.
All right. Because we got basketball to talk about. This has been an interesting start to the season. Big 12 conference schedule has just begun. And Ryan, you got to go out to the basketball game this weekend, right?
I did. I was at TCU all weekend. It was one of the best weekends ever. Gosh, y'all, the arena was filled to the rim with fans against when the guys played KU. And, you know, unfortunately, we just didn't get the win in the end, but boy, I liked our fight. We were trailing the majority of the game, and usually, you know, we've had a problem in the last, you know, several minutes of the game, kind of giving up a win like we did against OU. But this game, we fought back, and I hate to blame it on the officials, but when someone like me, I'm not a big, I don't notice things. I'm more of a better at watching football and definitely better watching baseball. I don't notice all the little things that are going on the basketball court. So when I notice some stuff being off with the fouls being called and the refs, it was kind of bad. So I'm probably not the only one that thinks that at all, but it's interesting. We used to be like this with football, where if we just got close to winning, it was so thrilling for us. Y'all remember those days, right? And that's kind of how we are with basketball. So just to almost beat, you know, a top 10 team like OU and then KU, you walk out of there going, okay, you know, we're here. We're just as good. Now, you know, in 2 years from now, maybe even next, as soon as next year, we'll be walking out probably cussing, you know, that we just lost by a basket or a free throw. But right now, in the moment we're in, it feels good to just be a contender and be there. And I think it's a long season. I think we will peak when it's right. And that's the most important thing to do in a season. That's the hardest thing on a coach to be able to time. But it looks like it could play out that way, just like it did last year.
Right. Well, going back to what you were talking about with football, I mean, you talk about Boykin's first year as a quarterback, and those were games that we were close in all the games. Even when we went up to Oklahoma, we almost won that game until they broke that long run there at the end. And it was frustrating because it was a team that would never play four full quarters of football. Mm-hmm. They played two great quarters, one, and then they just completely fall down. And we always said if they could just put four quarters of football together, we would be, a heck of a team. And it's almost like that with the basketball team at this point. Not that they're not playing a half. It's just that there's a few things in their game, like free throws against OU, three-pointers against Kansas, transitional defense against OU. There's just a few tweaks here and there, and we're up there playing with the top 10 teams in the nation. And that is real. Like you said, that's really exciting to see.
Mm-hmm. It is very exciting. The fans, I know Coach Dixon has to be excited. We'll see what it is when we're not playing a top 10 team, but it felt like the Tubbs years again. I think we said that on our last podcast. And then I heard someone today during the Killingsworth era say the same thing. Janet said, God, it was back like when Killingsworth was the coach. It was so exciting and so fun. The atmosphere was so electric. And we just haven't had that. And it's just so neat. So everybody listening, get out there, go to a game, go to two games, go to the women's games. They're a lot of fun.
How was the women's game this weekend?
It was good. That was today. We played Tech and we killed them. It was, I remember, like 96 to 70 something. We're beating them, the whole team, the whole game. We actually, before the game, we took a group of Killer Frogs ladies out to Defender Outdoors, and we did machine guns and mimosas. And then we all got together and came to the game afterwards. So it was a great day. And Defender Outdoors is Horned Frog owned. So it was a very purple day. Perfect purple day.
It's a good Sunday. Mm-hmm. God, guns, and basketball.
Exactly.
There you go. It's all good. Wes, how are you feeling about basketball so far this season?
You know what? I haven't been up to a game this year, obviously, but
that's your fault for moving to Georgetown.
I'm excited about it. I mean, we're 13-2. It's not too darn bad. I mean, I don't know where we won our third. Where we were last year, we won our 13th game, but I think it was further down the road. But to be at this point, we're top 20 team. 13-2. Our two losses came at the hands of both ranked teams, and I'm excited. I mean, he's still got some players out there. I guess he's redshirting for next year, and he's got some good players coming in for next year. The depth is there. I mean, this nothing but thumbs up all the way for TCU basketball, and I'm so excited that Dixon's back with us. I'm not a big basketball fan, but I do enjoy it from time to time, and I'm really excited about TCU basketball.
Shannon, how about you? I know you were there during the Billy Tubbs era.
Sorry, hey man, I was, and it was exciting back then, and it's that way now. And I follow them. I had been to a game, but I have been watching. Listen, I think they have what it takes. I was watching one of the players in their interview. He's like, "Listen, we can beat anybody," and. To see him with that kind of confidence, it was awesome to see. I mean, the locker room's gelled. We'll see what happens, but it's just good to see the basketball. I'm a big basketball. As a matter of fact, I fell in love with basketball before football. I just stopped growing, right? I thought I was going to be playing basketball, but I definitely will be going to some games, be in the arena, supporting guys. I mean, I support everything Frogs, so. It's Coach Dixon has those guys really gelled together and seen.
Yep.
The Big 12. Yep. Look like we'll be right there in the mix of everything. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's a fantastic conference. Yeah. Tough conference. They seem to be doing really, really well at this point. It's amazing just to see what Dixon's been able to do with this team in a short period of time. I mean, to go from where we were to NIT champions to now where everybody's talking about possibility of us actually going to the NCAA tournament and doing well. So, I mean, this is kind of the golden age of TCU athletics at this point, and I think everyone needs to really kind of enjoy it. But Yeah, and just seeing the StubHub prices for the men's basketball games, both against OU and Kansas. If anything else, that just kind of proves it. I mean, it's crazy to get a ticket now for TCU basketball. I mean, that's awesome. It's a fantastic feeling.
And I think we play Texas Tech on the 10th coming up. So there's another big one this week. Yeah.
Well, if we could pull one out against Texas Tech.
Oh, wait, not Texas Tech. Texas, UT. Sorry, gosh. We play the Longhorns.
Yeah, Tech's a couple weeks from now, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, but if we pull off that one, if we can just kind of beat Texas and then beat Texas Tech, that would put us back on track a bit since Tech beat Kansas, which was kind of that was a weird game, but, you know, it happens. Yeah. Happens in basketball every now and then. So, you know, basketball's doing really, really well. In a couple of weeks, we'll be talking about baseball. I tell you, it's an embarrassment of riches right now. You know, for the most part, Shannon, I think we're getting a little feedback on your mic. I didn't mean for you to mute it. If you got some headsets, plug them in. I don't know what happened with your microphone.
That's not me. That's not my phone. I don't. My room's silent. I kicked all my kids out.
No, I think we're hearing ourselves through
your.
I'll mute it.
It's probably your computer.
Yeah, it's probably your computer. But yeah, that's okay. All right. Well, you know, it's okay because we're at the end of the podcast. Want to thank everybody who has been listening to us on YouTube, on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher. If you are listening to us on iTunes, we'd like to ask you to go ahead and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It helps us out, especially with the rankings. And you can find us on social media. We are on Twitter and Instagram at @killer_frogs. That's at @killer_frogs. And you can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/killerfrogs. Join us over there. We have a lot of fun. And of course, you can always join the discussion on our forums by going to killerfrogs.com. You can go and click on the register link on the homepage and join the largest TCU community online and just kind of, you know, discuss the future of TCU athletics with the rest of us knuckleheads. Shannon, thanks for joining us tonight.
Hey, thanks, guys. It was an honor to be on the show and visit with you guys. As always, I believe frogs and go frogs.
Go frogs.
Thanks, Shannon. All right, buddy. Appreciate it. You have yourself a good night, man.